Today on Real Life Radio.
No matter how hopeless and isolated and alone you might think or feel, when my heart is overwhelmed, you ever feel like that? Can't even think straight because the worry is affecting everything you feel and think and the decisions you make. You're overwhelmed. What do? You grab the Bible.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, I want to tell you about Just Church. It's a 100% free event on Friday, September 8th at the Honda Center in Anaheim. We'll gather as a large community of believers to just worship and to just study God's Word. You're not even going to have to pay for parking. Register now at JustChurchSoCal.com. That's JustChurchSoCal.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Philippians with a message titled, How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 2. Here now as we continue in Chapter 4 with verses 5 through 9, the Apostle Paul has us looking at ourselves and our conduct. You see, Paul tells us to let our gentleness be known to others and our conduct be that of balance and self-control. Gentleness means knowing when not to apply the letter of the law, but rather the spirit of the law. The Lord's coming is imminent. Winning the lost to Christ, it's our greatest commission. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to tell us how to have the peace of God when our mind becomes a battlefield. Peace only comes when we run towards the Lord, and by speaking God's truth in our day of trouble, in our day of fear, and in our day of discontent. Now with his message called, How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Whenever we see in the Bible where the Bible says, for example, things like, Lord, I cry to you. You ever read that in the Bible? Lord, I call out to you. What is that person doing but throwing out their call for God to come into their situation? Write these verses down. These are better than a pill. Psalm 61:1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. Oh, isn't that good? Do you have any enemies? I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Friends, listen. Look at the verse again. Everybody, watch. Hear my cry, O God. God, I'm crying to you. This is how you pray Bible. You get alone and you let it out. Hear my cry, O God. Attend to my prayer. I promise you this, if you ask God to listen, he's going to be listening. From the end of the earth, I will cry to you. What does that mean? No matter how hopeless and isolated and alone you might think or feel, when my heart is overwhelmed, you ever feel like that? You know that word I said a moment ago? That anxiety where your gut, your life is just shifting with vibration of pressure, noise in your head. You can't even think straight because the worry is affecting everything you feel and think and the decisions you make. You're overwhelmed. What do? You grab the Bible and you I believe with your mouth, with your voice out loud, lock yourself in the bathroom, climb a tree. I don't care where you got to go. Just do it. Watch what happens. When my heart is overwhelmed, then your prayer, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, because I'm sinking, God. For you have been a shelter for me. Oh, God, be my shelter. Lord, your word says this. And right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, I'm applying your word to my life. Be my shelter. A strong tower from the enemy. Oh God, my enemies have surrounded me. They mock, they lie in wait. They want to kill me. They want to destroy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever. Where's that? Well, wherever you're at, if you're a believer, that's where the Lord is. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Man, sometimes you just got to hang on and say, I'm going to trust in the shelter of your wings. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, sow a thought, reap an action. Sow an action, reap a habit. Sow a habit, reap a character. Sow a character, reap a destiny. Right now, we need to change the destiny that we've been living on as Christians, that we are Christians, but we're Christian warriors. No, the truth is we need to change all that, and we need to start sowing and hanging on to the promises of God. The more prone you and I are to worry, the more we ought to grab onto verses that apply to this issue of life. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4. And this is one of those verses, you guys, that is just so applicable for everything. It's so good. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or earthly, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, supernatural things, invisible things, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Look at that. When you and I worry, we've removed the word of God from our lives and we've told God that he's not big enough. When we worry, we don't think God is ever in control. When we're worrying, we think we know better than what God is doing. We accuse him by worrying. We need to cast that argument down. Bring it. Look, he says, bring every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. What is that? Listen, everybody. Thought enters your mind. And what, you know, answer it for you. But what is it for you? When something begins to, and you know what it is, the Holy Spirit will say, this is not good. It could be lust. It could be anger. It could be fear. It could be finances. Whatever it is, it just causes you to panic and then you make the wrong decision. When that thing comes up, you know what you do? You grab it. You just say, Lord, I know what it's like if I don't give this to you right now. And I heard that verse on Sunday at church, and I'm going to do this. Lord, I am now bringing this thought under the captivity of Christ. Let me tell you something right now. If you're bound to something, please hear me. I am not going to get too honest about my life when I first became a Christian, but my life was bad before coming to Christ. And it took years to get victory over a certain area of life after becoming a Christian. And this act of 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5 is what did it. When that thing would pop up in my mind, I would literally, there are times I would pull over in my car to say this, Lord, I can't get the pictures, I can't get the issue, I can't get the people out of my mind. In the name of Jesus, I'm bringing that before you. Cause me to hate it more than I do now. Cause me to fight it. God, just help me now. And I'm telling you right now. And you fight. And you leave it with him. 10 times a day if you have to. Christians, we need to fight. We need to fight against the forces of darkness, and biggest forces of darkness sometimes manifest in our old nature, tries to pop right back onto the scene. We need to speak this word of truth in the day of worry. 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. Listen to this. Perfect love, that is knowing his love for you, Christian, cast out fear. Because fear involves torment. But he who fears, that is worries or frets, has not been made complete or perfect in love. See, what does that mean? It means if you pause to realize there's no fear in love. Number one, if you're fearing something, God's not in it. You understand the difference between bad fear and good fear. Okay, if there's a lion running around the parking lot right now, that's good fear. Okay? I fear snakes. I hate snakes. I don't care if it's a rubber snake. I hate it. That's a good fear. But when something comes into my life and it's like, hey, man, you ought to worry about this. There is no fear in love. This ain't from God. We need to start learning how to put some of the voices that are in our heads in a headlock. Amen. And you know how it works. You're driving along. You're having a great day. Did you see the sunset last night, people? It was so awesome. And I'm looking, and I was driving. It's like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And I'm just, God, you're amazing. I'm having this total spiritual encounter with the Lord last night. And I'm looking down because I'm looking at traffic. I'm looking. And I happened to have been going northbound on the 55 freeway. And having made that turn going north, now I'm looking at the sunset in the rearview mirror of my car. And it's, oh my goodness, it's so beautiful. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. No, I didn't hit anything. But I looked ahead, clear, smooth sailing. But some guy wanted to just pull in front of me. And it's interesting how I go, God, you're amazing. What an idiot! Who's that? And immediately, James said, hey, Jack. You know, James, Book of James. Yeah. Out of the mouth, we praise God. And then the next thing, we curse man. Excuse me, that guy, he's got license. He can drive anywhere he wants to. But I should be looking ahead and not at the sunset. I took something really awesome and beautiful and I allowed it to be a distraction. We can say, well, this is really cool in my life. It's really great. I mean, you know, this is really, and it's, listen, it could be wonderful. But if we mismanage it, it can be a disaster. And we need to grab that thought and put it in the right place. What about this? Speak this truth in the day of trouble. Psalm 107, verse 6. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. Oh, that's good. Whew, I need that. Speak this truth in the day of fear. Psalm 34, verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And all God's people said, amen. Grab that verse. You have to grab that verse. I'll remember. Grab it. Write it down. Make it yours. Because fear will come to us. But it all comes down to this. You either freak out and panic in life because the Lord is not on the throne. Or if you have peace in the midst of a storm, it's because you've got someone to cast your cares to. What is it for you? What is it for us? Speak this truth in the day of discontent. Hebrews 13:5 says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Isn't that great? Don't love money. Love God. He'll take care of you. People worry about money. And then he goes on in verse 6 and says, but in everything, the word demands presently, but in the present situation, in everything, watch the vehicle, watch the mode, the avenue, by prayer, by supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Church, three key things about prayer. This is biblical prayer. Number one, by prayer, everything in our lives is to be dealt with by prayer. Everything. Ladies and gentlemen, listen. I had a family member years ago say, Jack, I don't bother God with the little things in my life. Only the big things. So you think about that for a moment. Number one, I don't think in my life there are any little things. And then on the flip side, there are no big things to God. Excuse me, God, I'm coming to you now because this is the big one. If God cares about the sparrow that falls to the ground, there's nothing big to him. You see how weird we are? Oh, I'm okay, I'm doing all right. How are you doing? I'm doing fine. And then something happens. Oh, that just tipped the scale. This thing just rolled down over into, it's a big one. No, listen, in everything. Watch, the word means this. It means, in fact, proskuneo is the word for worship or to listen, to lick the hand. It's a word for a puppy that licks your hand. Proskuneo is the word to worship. This word, proskuneo, is rooted in worship. This kind of prayer is worshipful prayer. Listen, it means this. It means to orate or to speak it. Some have said in the ancient world that it meant chapel, to orate, to speak, orator, in chapel. It means to tell. This word prayer is to, in a worshipful way, structure your prayer to tell God. Speak it. Supplication. The word means to make petition. This is where you make request. The word is to appeal to heaven or to ask God. So you speak for others, or you speak regarding an issue. You speak for your nation. You speak for your family. And then the word thanksgiving. You're to do all of it with thanksgiving. This is amazing. Watch this. This word means to express with gratitude. It means to actively appreciate and to take what is before you and to thank God for it. It means to go public with thanks for God. So, church, watch this. If we're going to pray right, we're going to approach God with thankfulness. Doesn't the Bible say enter into his courts with praise? Think of this. We will supplicate, that is, we'll pray for the situation. And that entire act of worship, that prayer, gives honor to God. Did you know that? So how can my prayer to God honor him? Well, I tell you what, do you have kids? Do you have grandkids? It's better with grandkids. Your kids come to you and they say, Dad, can I have $5? And you want to give them $5. You just don't trust them with it. When you have grandkids, if they ask for $5, you give them $10 and you don't care what they do with it as long as they're happy. When you have kids, they can't have ice cream at night and chocolate. When you have grandkids, it's an act of God to have right before bed, popcorn, ice cream, and chocolate. It's what you do before you go to sleep with grandkids. When the kid asks, Jesus said, come on, you guys, you're all a bunch of evil people. He was talking about human nature. You're all a bunch of evil people. When your kid comes to you asking for a piece of bread, do you give him a rock? Of course not. God is honored when you come to him. Well, Pastor, I'm not going to bother God with my issues. You know what you're saying? You are absolutely so self-reliant and arrogant that you think that you are keeping your life together? You think you've got the answer? Can you imagine a 3-year-old or a 1-year-old walking up saying, hey, Dad, I got it. I'll do this diaper detail myself. I got it from here. I don't need you. It's an insult to God. He wants to hear from you. And when you come, listen, many of you know in various prayer meetings over the years, we have an acronym that we love using. It's ACTS, like the book of Acts. And because of time's sake, we're going to have to end with this. When you go to prayer, you might think, well, what do I do? Remember the acronym ACTS. A stands for adoration, or to adore him. First things first. Let me tell you something. When you come and you say, Lord, I'm coming before you this morning, and you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the beginning and the end. You're the first and the last. You are the Almighty. You are the one who was, who is to come. You are the bread of life. You are the living water. You are the light of the world. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are righteous. You are light. You are hope. You are love. You are faithful. You are merciful. You are kind. I adore you, God. Let me tell you something right now. When you approach God in prayer first that way, 50% of what you're going to talk to him about begins to evaporate or get really tiny. Because emotions will tell you on the flip side, it's such a huge problem. Oh my goodness. Sometimes people will say, Pastor, when you need to pray for me because this is what's going on. I just went to the doctor. And they start talking about this thing. And I honestly, if you've ever done that to me, you remember, you know what I've done. I've said, I hear you. And you're saying, I've got this thing and it's in my brain and it's going to be, and it's this. And I just say, stop. God knows if you tell me any more, I won't be able to pray in faith because I'll be overwhelmed. I don't want to know the details. Number one, I can't do anything about them. I'm not a doctor. Number two, the doctor knows everything. So just let me pray for you about it. That's why you tell a little kid, if you have a little kid in your life, say, hey, listen, pray for me. And the little kid will go, hey, God, he doesn't feel good. Fix him. Watch, little kids. My grandson just did this. Fix him. Amen. And he goes, you're better now. Is that faith? Always get a little kid to pray for you. Adore him. Next word, C, acronym, confession. Make confession. In light of that, now look, adoring his majesty, now you might have confessed two things, but now you wind up confessing 20 things. Because your life, in light of his grandeur, you realize, I'm just a worm. And you confess, God, I shouldn't have had that thought when that guy cut me off on the freeway looking at the sunset. T, thanksgiving. God, I thank you. And this is where we really need to develop this. Thank you. Think about it. Thank you. Thank you. Think about it right now. Watch. To show you how much you and I need to work on this, in the count of three, think of three things that you're thankful for, just in your head. One, two, three. Think. If there was a in that, you need to really, really think about being thankful. Think of that. You ought to be able to write a list, especially those of us in America, we're spoiled rotten. Look, I know we live in the most messed up state in this nation. It is beautiful, but it's messed up. Amen. But wasn't God showing us that last night? Man messes up the freeways with traffic. God paints a sky better than Monet could ever even attempt. Think of it. Thank you, God. Think of the things that God has done for you to thank him for. And you thank him. And then S, supplication. Now you're ready to go and to pray for those that you love and those that you know about and those of your own life. Father, we come to you this morning and we adore you, Lord, for the God that you are, the Bible, these promises. I thank you, God, that I was able to write down verses, to put verses down on a piece of paper, throw them out into the sanctuary, because your word is that good. There's no incantations. There's no drumming something up. There's no hype. There's the eternal God who has written us this word. And the greatest word that he could have ever given us was enough. When the Bible tells us that he so loved you, that he gave, sent, provided his only, one and only, never to be repeated, honored or begotten son. That, and here's the qualifier, that if you would believe on him, trust, no longer worry about your own life, give it up, let him take it. Placing your life in his hands, if you would believe in him, you will not perish. You'll not see hell. You'll not see the grave. There will be no dark place for you ever. But you will have everlasting life. Jesus Christ died on the cross, rose again from the dead for you to know that you are highly valued by God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called How to Have the Peace of God When, Part 2. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Philippians, a letter from Paul who surrendered his life to Christ for the sake of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Slow and steady wins the race. That's the moral found in the famous fable of the tortoise and the hare. It's also true when it comes to ministry. In Praise of Plodders is a unique and captivating book that's written by renowned author Warren Wiersbe, What exactly is a plodder? Well, it's someone who labors with determination and drive. Learn to be faithful and diligent in serving the Lord. Whether it's dealing with discouragement, maybe managing your time, or finding motivation in the mundane, In Praise of Plodders contains workable solutions to problems that you will face in ministry.
If you feel so worn down, maybe even apathetic, then you need this book. He will walk you through those seasons. Things just don't seem to be coming together.
This book is our thank you gift for your generous donation to Real Life Ministries today. Get your copy at jackhibbs.com. Or you could call 877-777-2346. Order In Praise of Plodders by Warren Wiersbe now. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.